Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Indie Heads Podcast. I'm your host, Maddie, aka Recon IG. On this week's podcast, we have
Will, user Will for Thrill.
I'm Colin, user Colin Ingram.
So, we want to welcome Mr. Colin Ingram of the podcast, who is the founder and owner of Strange Light Records, and also Indie Heads user like both me and Will. Oh my god. They're just like us. You. They're just like us. Oh my god. Celebrities, okay? Do not worry. They're just like you. Although it's kind of weird to consider Colin a celebrity. But he's our special guest on the podcast.
We're talking to him, I mean,
yeah, we're doing an interview. He's our celebrity for this podcast, at the very least.
Yeah.
He's our guest.
Yeah, I'm chill.
And yeah. I've been excited for this episode. Cool to talk to fellow indie head about their DIY. Lifestyles.
Badass label. But yeah, thank you, Colin, for coming to the podcast, and welcome. For our viewers who don't really know who you are, do you want to kind of give a very brief introduction of yourself before we get into the news?
Like I said, my name's Colin Ingram, and I'm the co-founder and business director of a kind of smaller indie label based in Fort Collins, Colorado, Strange Light Records. And we've only been around for about 9 months now, but we've already released a couple albums. Maybe some of you from Portland know the band Grandparents. We put out their latest record called Sincerely Bagman, and a couple months ago dropped a record for a band called Quiet Life, their record Foggy, which was kind of produced and played on by a lot of the dudes from Dr. Dog. So the Dr. Dog fans out there, pretty interesting album to you guys.
Nice.
Also, Colin, before we get started, I want to give you a shout out. You, Andy and Cohen, but mostly you, got me into Sioux Falls.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they're fucking badass. Definitely one of the better records I've heard this year. Definitely the best debut I've heard.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I love that record. I'm trying to be like evangelical about that band, so I'm glad that listened to me.
It's one of those kind of records I think indie heads would like. Like everyone I've recommended to that has listened to it has liked it. Not one person has been like, I don't care for this.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, shouts out.
And I want to give a shout out to Colin for disagreeing with me on Twitter probably a couple times. I don't know what about. I'm going to find out real quick, but we probably disagreed on Twitter before.
Colin was probably right because you have bad opinions trademarked.
That's true. We probably disagreed about the emo revival, and I think foxing is what we disagreed on because I find them boring. But,
oh, yeah, yeah.
But you
I'll actually agree with Maddie on that one, but that's neither here nor there.
Maddie, you didn't like coloring books, right?
No, I like Coloring Book, but it's very underwhelming, I will say. It could have been better. It's like, I want to like this more because I like Acid Rap a lot and I like Chance, but this is just like, we'll see you next time.
It's going to be Rap Sesame Street.
Essentially.
Rap Game Big Bird.
I think it's
I mean, you're both wrong, but.
And here's the thing with Foxing. Foxing are a local band to me because I live like next to St. Louis, where they're from. All right, so if there's anyone who has the right to hate on Foxing, it's probably me. I don't know. Anyways, let's get into the news. I'm just gonna start off with the news because I think that this bit is going nowhere. All right, Danny Brown, the legend. I love him so much. He has a new album coming out very, very soon. It was apparently inspired by the Talking Heads.
So soon.
And he called David Byrne a legend, and he also dropped a new song called When It Rained. And I understand, we're talking about hip-hop on the Indie Heads podcast. Yes, Danny Brown is an exception because he's on Warp Records now, which is an indie label. So fuck you, we're talking about Danny Brown because he's about to drop the rap album of the year, and this new single is fucking incredible. Will, what do you think about the new single besides the fact that it's hot?
I mean, that's pretty much my thoughts. Like, it's hot. I mean, like, what else there to say? I mean, I'm excited for the album. I mean, I'm not sure if it'll be my favorite hip-hop album of the year, but it's definitely going to be a good one.
I mean,
definitely going to be some bars. Definitely going to be some hot beats.
Let me remind you guys that Will thinks The Life of Pablo is the current rap album of the year, and possibly the current album of the year in general.
Absolutely. I'm a Pablo truther.
I gotta disagree. But yeah, Danny Brown, I've been a big fan of Danny Brown since like 2012, since I discovered XXX and just fell in love, and then Old is fantastic too. And I've been very much like hyping up this new album of his, as I think Old was sort of the turning point for Danny Brown, where essentially he was doing the style that he did Old in was similar to XXX, where you had the side A, side B concept. And that was kind of the point of the album, was kind of laying that concept to rest and laying the old Danny Brown to rest. And I'm very, very, very excited to hear the new Danny Brown. And this new single is extremely promising. The beat is fantastic. Danny Brown is just killing it on bars. And just, it's such a crazy, frantic song. And, like, it's really exciting to see him signed to Warp Records, too, which has a great roster of, like, people. And he's essentially, like, the, like, second hip-hop artist signed to Warp. Because I was looking on their website, and they have Jeremiah Jai. But, like, Danny Brown's, like, the first sort of, like, straight... I think
he's
Jeremiah
much more important.
He's more like, okay, this is like, okay, oh, they're really, like, changing the guard. Like, this is a real, like, hip-hop artist now. Like, this is someone that people really, really know and care about a lot. And so that's extremely exciting. And the new single's great, and you haven't listened to it, you should go listen to it. We're not really sure when the album's coming out. I think the album is mixed by, as far as I can tell, was mixed by Sound, let's see, it's Sound by Ali or something like that. I'm sure I remember his name, but it's essentially like the guy who like mixes all of TDE's stuff. So that's extremely exciting. And I think also he's like mixing Annie Clark's new record or St. Vincent's new record.
Really?
So I think, yeah, because he's, Annie's been in the studio with Soundwave, which not John Congleton, surprisingly. At least I haven't heard anything about that, so that's pretty interesting. But we're back. But back to Danny Brown. This new single's great. He's gonna have the rap album of the year, all right? Okay, we're gonna like when it comes out, like probably later this summer or in the fall. I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, I thought this was gonna be the rap album of the year, and then I listened to it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I was
that's,
right.
That's,
like I always am.
I'll let you Maddie thinking that a popular indie rapper would have the best hip hop album of the year.
I know, because like here's the thing: I predicted that the Color and Anything or James Blakeney record would be the album of the year, and guess what? It is the album of the year. And you
in your opinion.
My thing is objective because I'm the host of the Indians podcast.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So you can say, hey, like just because you say it's your favorite album of the year doesn't make it, that makes sense. Like, hey, I can just say any album is my favorite album of the year.
Can you please stop puncturing the bit, Will? Let me have fun. But yeah, Colin,
you can let us have fun in this cast, so I'm not going to let you have fun this time.
Fine. Colin, have you listened to the new Danny Brown?
I haven't. I didn't realize there was a new single out. I saw that article about him and his David Byrne influence, which is something that's really exciting to me. You know, he's always been one of those guys who I've just always... I've never not enjoyed listening to him, but I just... He's never been a hip-hop artist that I guess I've, like, sought out for, like, really extended sessions with his stuff. But,
I can see that.
I mean, I'm really excited about this, and I'm... you know, I would not doubt that this is the record that makes me, like, go back and listen to all of its other records and, you know, as things will happen like that.
Right, and speaking of, I guess, comebacks, Preoccupations, formerly known as Viet Cong, they announced their new album, their self-titled album, Preoccupations, and they also dropped a new song called Anxiety. And, yeah, so Viet Cong was, at least last year when it came out, it was a really... It was a really exciting record to me. I thought it was great. I think it ended up being in my top five when I, like at the time when I put out my list. Like for so, Colin, if you don't know, we do like at the end of the year we do the Indie Heads Podcast Awards, and for that everyone put down like their you know their top 10 list. I think like Viet Cong was in my top five. I probably wouldn't put it in my top five now, but I would still keep it in my top 10. It's a fantastic post punk record, and the new song is very very interesting. I haven't really wrapped my head around it just quite yet. Like, I think I still need some time with it.
They're embracing goth rock now.
Yeah, they're definitely, like, it sounded very different from the stuff on Viet Cong. So I'm really interested to see how the new album sounds like. And the new song, it's good, but I definitely need to give it a couple more listens. And it's sort of interesting to see, you know, like, what happens next after the whole controversy. Which I don't think the controversy really... I don't think it's going to play that much into the record, you know? Because, you know, if
Viet Cong... At least not musically, I don't think.
Yeah, because if Viet Cong is any, you know, indication, at least lyrically, you know... They aren't a band that, like, really addresses, like, oh, this is what's happening right now. It's more just sort of, like, inner turmoil or stuff that's sort of a bit more abstract, I guess. I'm not sure. But I'm excited for this new album. Hopefully it's good. Yeah. Colin?
Yeah.
Will? Well, I don't... Yeah, well, you don't really like Viet Cong or the post-punk arrival, for a matter of fact.
Well, the thing is that Viet Cong is actually one of the better bands. Like, they make some good songs, but this it sounds like it could have been made in 1982. I mean, there's, like, nothing about it that's like, hey, we're pushing the genre further. Like, it just sounds like, hey, let's sound like Missions of Burma and call it a day.
See, I don't I have no idea what you're talking about. Colin, do you have any idea what Will's talking about with Missions of Burma or whatever?
Yeah, no, I think that's an apt comparison. I think I would agree with you guys that it's very... I mean, at least that Anxiety single to me was... Like, I don't know that I necessarily heard anything new that wasn't, like, going on with those rad, like, 80s post-punk bands. But, you know, I mean, to me, it was really interesting because I think that's the album opener. You know, and so dropping the album opener with, like, that few seconds of, you know, kind of ambient noise at the top of it, and then getting into this song that I wouldn't doubt kind of functions as, like, the prelude of everything to come. I mean, that was an interesting choice to drop as a single, so I guess I don't really know how much you could, you know, predict about this album based just off that single.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's sort of like, I'm trying to think of another band that dropped, like, I mean, of course, we've seen some really, like, interesting debut singles this year for albums. I think, like, you know, for example, Car Seat Headrest, Vincent. What a fucking first single for an album that kind of led the expectations to be, you know, of course, we all know the meme, the next funeral, Teens of Denial, the next funeral. And Teens of Denial
but it was.
Not, well, it was very good.
It was
good.
Literally the next funeral.
Sure, it was literally.
If you rearrange the letters in Teens of Denial, it smells funeral.
That's a bit. I think that's a stretch, Will. That's a very much a stretch. But Teens of Denial was a great record. I think it's like my number two album of the year, and it's probably the best indie rock album that's going to be released this year. But the next funeral, not quite. Although I do think at some point, I think Car Seat Headrest has the, like, I think he can get to the point where he can release that big, like, indie rock record that will be, like, as revolutionary as an indie rock record can be at this point, like in 2016, as really, you know, I think that's the biggest complaint with indie rock is that right now it's like, there's a lot of good indie rock out there, but is there any, like, indie rock that's making, like, big evolutions? Not quite. So, but yeah, Preoccupations, I'm excited for the album. I think it comes out, let me check the date.
September 16th, I think.
September 16th. Oh, yeah. Also, I think they probably announced... Oh, yeah, September 16th. I think they announced a tour, too.
The tour.
Which, they're not coming anywhere near me.
Yeah, there's a tour.
I'm really sad. Please come to St. Louis, Preoccupations. I want to see you. But, yeah. I think it's about it on news. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about, like, news-wise, that, like, we didn't put in the schedule? Because it was pretty slow. It's been pretty slow this past week or so. I guess we could talk about that.
Yeah,
of course.
So the Donald Glover app countdown.
I mean, he's not really indie, though. So
yeah, no, is he signed to a major label?
He signed to Glasnost, which is an indie label, but, like, he's not talked about on Indie Heads, and also he's Donald fucking Glover. You know, he's in, like, Hollywood movies.
Josh, he's the truth.
Who? Wait, what are you talking about?
He's the truth.
He's, oh my god. Okay, I will say about Charles Camilo, though. I think Because the Internet is a great album, it's a 9 out of 10. Everything else released before that, Everything he released after, Kawhi is decent, but Stone Mountain is garbage and should be forgotten, like it has already.
I actually kind of like that mixtape.
Boy. No.
Especially, like, what's it called? No Small Talk. Small Talk. That's a fucking banger right there.
That's one of my least favorite songs on that mixtape.
Dude, I fucking love that song.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Three cell phones, but I still won't ever call them. Why would I call them? Bitch, you know I'm balling. Hell yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm the guy who thinks Camp is good. Like,
oh, God.
I don't hate
Camp. I know.
Camp has some good.
I mean, you can explain yourself. Please. I want to hear this out. Like, why do you like Camp? Because I don't like it at all.
I don't know. It's such an easy listen, I guess. And then that one track, you know, with the music, the video where they're, like, out in the woods and stuff.
Was that Bonfire?
Bonfire.
Yeah, Bonfire.
Dude, that's a jam right there.
That bangs so hard.
I'm gonna.
I mean, yeah, lyrically, Camp is kind of, yeah, it's not very good. You know, just like. Black guilt, almost, or whatever. Like,
it's like really bad Lil Wayne impersonations through someone who has a lot of black guilt and isn't on drugs 24/7 like Lil Wayne was during his prime. But yeah, I do want to mention some quick other, like, little news things that we, unless you guys want to talk about, like, really discussion. A couple albums dropped. No. Swan's the Glowing Man. We'll probably talk about that one next week. Avalanche just dropped a new song. Radiohead's A Moonshaped Pool is now out for streaming on, like, Spotify and whatnot.
And it's on physical.
Oh, yeah, it's on physical now, too. Gorillaz, they're still working on their album. Cool. Grimes, she walked off. She was opening for Florence and Machine at the Barclays Center. Had a walk-off as there was apparently some sort of threat, and she can't really legally talk about it right now. very interesting to see what happens with that. There was, we were originally going to have that on the schedule, but we kind of decided not to because there wasn't really much to discuss until details came out. And Dobby, I guess one last thing I want to mention. Actually, two more things. Dobby digs a clipping. He won a Tony. Congratulations. That's a shout out for Zach, really. And
I was watching. I'm proud of him.
I mean, because Zach is the one who's been like championing like the Hamilton the most of like everyone in the chat right now.
Well, and clipping. He likes clippings a lot too.
Oh yeah, that's true. I still need to listen to the new EP. Oh, by the way, they did drop a new EP. I need to listen to still. And then Smash Mouth loves Parquet Courts, apparently. That's interesting. Okay, anyways, let's get into what we've been listening to this week. So I will start off. So first off, Radiohead and Moonshade Pool, since I already mentioned Radiohead. This came out on Spotify. Decided to give it a re-listen, because it's been a few weeks. I think I listened to it on my iTunes, but I never finished it. But I give it a full listen here, and I definitely, I listened to it after I kind of had a really weird night with a friend. And it was the perfect album for that night, as really kind of got me... It really kind of matched with my mood. I feel like during the discussion of it, and during even now, I still kind of... The main problem I have with it is that it's a very subtle album that I still think it's really good, but it hasn't quite clicked for me just yet. You know, it's like it's so close, but like it hasn't had that moment where it's like, oh shit, this is fucking incredible. Oh my god, like I know this is good. But I need to know, like, full on, why is it so good? And I think I kind of had that moment last night, or actually, no, 2 nights ago. But yeah, Moonshade Pool, it's Radiohead. If you haven't listened to it, what the fuck are you doing? Go listen to it. It's now available, like, everywhere. And then the second album, did you want to say anything about Moonshade Pool, you guys? I think, well, were you on that podcast?
I wasn't. I mean, I have mainly the same feelings as you, except maybe just a little, like, I think it's fucking brilliant, just, like, musically. It's definitely the best thing they've released in about 10 years. So yeah, it's really good. Just like, I'm not sure if it's one of my favorites of the year.
Yeah. That's kind of, it's sort of like, it's maybe not, because like, I know it's good and I appreciate it a lot, but it's like, ugh.
It's very much a mood record.
I just don't appreciate like, you know, like a bunch of, like some other people in the chat do. But
I'll throw on a lot.
Colin, what did you think of a Moonshade Pool?
I really love it. I think that it's, you know, I went into it with really low expectations. Like, honestly, like, I mean, I played along with everybody on the internet, like, getting hyped about it and stuff. But in reality, I did not have high expectations for it. You know, when Burn the Witch and Daydreaming came out, they got a little higher. And then when the actual album came out, you know, I kind of found it to be, I think, probably not on like a critical merit or on a musical merit, but like personally it's my favorite Radiohead album, just because I feel like this is the first time I've ever actually related to what Tom York was writing about, you know, specifically with tracks like Glass Eyes, where he's just being so candid. And I think that, you know, I've definitely had similar experiences where I like land at an airport in a strange city and be like, who are these people? I just want to like get a flight home. You know, so I guess personally for me, it's my favorite Radiohead album, and definitely one of my top albums of the year. But I could also wouldn't have issues in entertaining any arguments for why people don't like it as much, or you know, why it isn't as interesting to them.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely an interesting point. That's it's very personal, but also like, because like, you know, some of the lyrics are very heartbreaking, as you know. It's sort of like Tom Rickley's vocally and sort of even in the production a little bit, like in the instrumentation and whatnot, you know, you kind of get this feeling that Tom York is sort of very drained emotionally and kind of like empty inside, you know, from really, of course, the speculative answer to, you know, why is Tom York so fucking depressed, man? Why is he so fucking sad? Is that he got separated from his wife, in 2015. And so yeah, it I can definitely say it's definitely their most personal album yet. But for some reason, I don't connect to it as well as I do with, like, other Radiohead albums. I think it's because...
That's because musically it's so subtle.
Yeah, it's very, you know, musically very subtle. And also, you know, it just lacks, you know, very subtle. And also lacks sort of the bombast that, like, some songs on Radiohead albums do. Like, there's no, like, idiotech on this album where, like, they go fucking insane and wild. There's none of that.
There's no paranoid energy.
Exactly. It's very sort of... Maybe not smooth sailing, but it's definitely a more sort of, it's really hard to talk about this album a little bit. Like, it's really
hard.
No, I get you. But yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Moonshade Pool, go listen to it. And speaking of albums that are not very subtle, Run the Jewels 2. So I think this was in my top five of 2014, and I hadn't really listened to it in a while, but I had the CD, and I'm like, hey, I'll listen to this in my car, like, on the way to work, because I got a new job. So I listened on the work, and fuck, it's still so fucking good. It's still so fucking hard. It's still one of the most, like, consistent rap albums of the past, like, couple years or so. One of the best, I don't know. Because it's like, I feel kind of weird, like, saying this album is, like, one of the best rap albums of the past couple years. Because it's like, oh, it's Run the Jewels 2, you know? It's just like, oh, it's just sort of like a little, like, fun little duo project between, like, LP and Killer Mike. So it really shouldn't
be. It doesn't matter.
But I don't know why. I mean, it shouldn't matter, but at the same time, though, it's sort of like, I don't know. Oh, but this album, again, anyways,
I'm just talking about... You know...
You want to say, oh, yeah,
I'll No, I mean, I think that one of the things that makes that album so appealing to me is that it's like all the big name rappers are going out and trying to make these epic albums, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that ever since, like, my Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy dropped, and then followed by, you know, Kendrick's albums, I think that everybody's just shooting for the stars and just trying to make this, like, overly conceptual, overly epic album that just, like, has all this hype built up around it. You know, and I think that it's worked for certain people, and I think that it's certainly failed for a lot of people. You know, Drake being a great example.
I was gonna say that.
But the cool thing about Run the Jewels is they're not trying to do that. They're not trying to, like, create these giant story arcs in their albums. They're not trying to, like, make this big conceptual masterpiece. They're just like, we're gonna put out
hard beats, bangers.
Yeah.
There's never been a Run the Jewels song that I don't fuck with.
Yeah.
So this album, it's a perfect album to drive down on a highway really fast. Of course, the car you're driving in is a teal blue PT Cruiser that's a hand-me-down from your sister's and had an air conditioning that wasn't really working properly. That's the perfect way to listen to this album. But yeah, it fucking bangs. All the songs are consistent. And I want to bring this question up between the both of you, and I want to, yeah, let's debate this. Who is better on the album, LP or Killer Mike?
That's the on the first Run the Jewels project. I actually liked LP better, but on the second one, I'll go Killer Mike.
Colin.
I think I'd agree with that. I've never actually considered that band like that, which is really interesting.
It's not a contest.
Yeah, and I mean, and they're like they're a band, you know. I mean, I think that they. I mean, neither of them's solo work has, like, amounted to what Run the Jewels amounts to. So, yeah, and I mean, I guess I would probably be more attracted to Killer Mike's verses, but I mean, they're. But I don't think they'd be as powerful if you didn't have the LPs contrasting them.
Oh yeah.
So.
See, I'm the opposite opinion of both of you guys. I think Killer Mike was better on Run the Jewels, but I think LP is better on Archie Day 2. As really, I think, but for the most part, they're very, like, even and very close of, like, okay, they're both, like, almost equally good. But there's a couple times where I feel like, I think especially on the song, like, Close Your Eyes and Count to Fuck, there's a couple of times where, like, where Killer Mike's flow kind of goes a little, like, off the beat. A couple times it kind of, like, it's just, like, a small little thing that bothers me a little bit. Well, like, LP mostly comes through and, like, keeps things smooth and clean. Maybe not clean. He keeps things like, okay, hey, he's on the beat. He's bringing out these really funny and interesting bars, and I think his rap style is more of my taste than Killer Mike's. But Killer Mike, of course, is great and fantastic also. I mean, fucking hell. Like, they're both great, and that's what makes this group so great, is that they complement each other's styles so goddamn well. Because who would think that, like, a rapper from, you know, Atlanta, you know, who was very, you know, influenced by Outkast because, you know, he was, like, he's a big Outkast associate, and then this, like, underground, you know, hardcore hip-hop legend LP, you know, who would think that these two guys would come together and make, like, and become, like, the best rap duo of, like, the last 20 years or so, you know? Maybe not 20 years, but, like, the last 15 years or so, you know? But, yeah.
They're definitely one of the best in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Because it really hasn't really been...
Since Clips.
Yeah, I could see that. It's been a while since we had, like, at least before they came out there, it had been a while since we had, like, a really good rap duo, you know? But actually, wait a second. I just thought of a rap duo that's better than Run the Jewels right now. Can you guess who it is, Will? No, there are Migos is a trio, Will. Who's a duo?
Oh, sorry.
Ray motherfucking Shrimmered. Shrim Life 2. I know I said Danny Brown's going to have the best rap album of 2016. I lied. It's Shrim Life 2, baby. Shrim Life 2, rap album of the year, album of the year, album of the decade, album of the century, album of the life. Shrim Life 2 coming out in August. I'm really mad they delayed the album. It was supposed to come out like this weekend or this like this upcoming Friday, but they delayed it because they can't get a song to pop off.
Didn't it leak already?
No, it hasn't leaked. I haven't heard anything about a leak. I haven't heard it.
Never mind.
If it fucking leaked, where can I fucking find it? I want to listen to it. Oh, but yeah,
never mind. I'm not.
But yeah, I don't want to talk about Shrim Life. That's for another podcast.
I'll go now because we're meandering.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. Well, what did you listen to this week?
All right. So the first album I listened to was Nattisford by Kvelertak, and they're a Norwegian black metal band. They play in a style called a black and roll, which is what it sounds like. It kind of mixes black metal and rock and roll. And honestly, kind of like sounds like hair metal sometimes to me. So naturally, Shred It isn't too kind to this band. But yeah, I fucking love them. They just go fucking hard on every single track. I just rock the fuck out to it, and I'll be playing this at the gym probably the rest of the year. So go cop that shit. And then my other album, the one I really want to talk about, is YG's Still Brazy. And for those who don't know, I mean, before Currents, Baddies Hate Porn was my crazy life.
Yep, that is true. That's completely true.
Maddie fucking hates that album.
I hate it. I fucking hate it so much. It was the worst album of 2014. DJ Mustard is garbage, and luckily he's starting to finally fade out. YG was mediocre, but I think the main problem with that album was DJ Mustard's like overlying influence over the entire thing. Just was bad. But you continue, Will.
Yeah, Still Brazy. Yeah, I mean, I like My Crazy Life. It's not like amazing, but like conceptually, I don't really think it really does much of anything for me. But like, it has some bangers. Like, I Just Want to Party, fucking banger. BPT, it's a fucking banger. Mighty Redacted, fucking banger. So yeah, Who Do You Love? Fuck. So basically, that album had good singles, basically. But this album, like, Still Brazy, I fucks with this album hard. Has this authentic West Coast hip hop sound, like reminds me of Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, this classic G funk West Coast hip hop, and I just find YG the album to be hilarious. Like, that's by far my favorite track listing of the year. Like, I'll just read some track names: Pop's Hot Intro, Don't Come to LA, Who Shot Me, which like Safe Toronto tweeted about earlier in the week, and it's basically just him listing off a name of people who could have shot him. Because he doesn't know.
All right,
so nice. That's fucking awesome. So then Word Is Bond, Twist My Fingers, Good Time Interlude, Gimme Got Shot, I Got a Question, featuring Lil Wayne, Why You Always Hatin', featuring Drake, Bull Bomb Collective, She Wish She Was, Redacted, YG Be Safe, Still Brazy, Fuck Donald Trump, Blacks and Browns, and Please Get Away with Murder. And that's a fucking bomb ass track list right there. Just every track, just the name has me cracking up.
Nice.
And then it's just the most fun album I've heard all year. Like, it comes down to, if you don't like this album, you don't like fun. And if you don't like fun, I don't like you.
Well, I guess I'll find that out this weekend, maybe, when I need to listen to it. Because I know, I'm actually really interested in listening to this because there's no DJ Mustard production, and that's enough to hook me in. Like, YG, I think YG had potential on My Crazy Life, just the production was not good at all, and I hated it, and it ruined most of the songs for me. However, without DJ Mustard, and of course, I think I've heard some of the songs, like Twist My Fingers is a fucking incredible song. Like, that,
yeah.
That literally sounds like it could have come out in the 90s.
That's what I'm saying.
It sounds like, oh, this could have come out in like 1992.
Yeah. And like, Fuck Donald Trump. That's all, like, not only is it banger, but it's just fucking hilarious. It's like, I like white people, but I don't like you.
Oh, wow. Alright.
Definitely this most. I have a blast listening to it. It's going to be in rotation all summer, for sure.
Well, all definitely. Right. I need to listen to it. Colin, what did you listen to this week?
Yeah. So the record haven't really had any luck turning off this week. It's a new Pup record, The Dream Is Over. And you know, these are some guys who I I've known about them for a while. I have a lot of mutual friends, I think, with some of the guys in the band, and they like pop up on my Facebook and my Twitter all the time. And like finally, I was like, screw it, I'm gonna listen to this band, and it's just like the raddest fucking punk rock record I've heard, like in a long time. You know, there's definitely a lot of elements of pop punk, but you can also hear that, you know, that these guys listen to a lot of, you know, of like the original 80s punk bands. You know, you can hear a lot of, you know, stuff like the Gun Club. You know, there's some Judas and the Mary Chain influence I hear. You know, and then even going back as far as like realizing that these dudes are definitely influenced by like 60s garage music and stuff. It's just a lot of very jarring, you know, a lot of tritones, a lot of harmonic minor scale, but just in this like super energetic pop or punk record rather. You know, and it's just like, I've never really moshed or ever been in a mosh pit, but I feel like if I went to a pub show, I would do that and intend to do that as soon as I can make that.
AJ Bose said the same thing. He went to a pup concert, and that was pretty much him. Like he said, like, yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the record I haven't been able to turn off. Nice. And I guess it's like a complete polar opposite of that. One of my good friends, Luke Bell, just released his title album on 30 Tigers, I think. And I think for anyone who like really digs Sturgill Simpson and thinks that they could go even a little more country than that, I'd really encourage you to check out Luke's music. It's like the realest country throwback that I've heard coming from anyone.
His name is Luke Bell?
Luke Bell, yeah.
I'll give it a... Is it on Spotify?
Yeah, it is.
I'll give it a listen because I've been looking for a good country record.
Yeah, I mean, and this is like the most legit country. Like it's not even like somebody's modern twist on classic country. It's just a straight up classic country record. And I love the fact that this dude's owning that. And
right, yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
So, yeah, totally.
So yeah, let's get into the main topic, our interview with Colin.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the beginning. So you said you started, like, what are the roots? Like, how old are you right now?
I'm 24.
24. So you said you started this record label 9 months ago. So what were you doing before you started this record label?
Yeah, so I think through most of my college years, I was basically a touring musician, like a hired gun, mostly in, like, bluegrass bands and jazz bands because I was an upright bass player.
Okay.
I didn't necessarily like. I don't really rep that stuff anymore, because both of those scenes are like pretty toxic.
Oh really?
Yeah. I mean, just as far as people not like intertwining
not
with
music.
Yeah. I mean, you can't like go to a bluegrass festival and hope to like talk to anybody about Japandroids or something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Which is something
that'll be
that, like,
free wind.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that kind of really bugged me about that stuff. And so I got this weird gig, like, you know, recording some music for, like, a hunting show or something. So I, like, bought some recording equipment, and then I realized that I really enjoyed producing, and so I ended up building out a studio, kind of as part of... I was the director of music at this, like, arts collaborative here in Fort Collins.
And so there's like, Fort Collins?
I'm from Cody, Wyoming. Originally.
Okay.
Which is where I know Luke Bell from. We went to high school together.
Okay, very neat.
Yeah.
You came to Colorado for college?
I actually went to college in the Twin Cities. I went to McNally Smith College of Music in St. Paul.
Okay.
And just, I kind of moved to Fort Collins for the hell of it.
Early just for the balls?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like, honestly, everything I've done in my life, like, was well thought out and well planned, except me moving to Fort Collins, but it's rad. So
it's close to Wyoming. I looked it up on a map.
It is, so. Yeah. But like, as far in, for, like, my hometown's as far in Wyoming as you can be from Fort Collins, so it's not really.
Okay.
Not really all that convenient.
Got you.
So,
nice.
So, you know, you do that, and then I guess starting the label, the one thing I'm actually really interested in this, how would you actually go about starting the label itself? Because, you know, I like right now I'm like majoring in radio broadcasting at my community college, and I have no idea what the fuck I'm gonna do after I get done. Like, I don't know what I have ideas, but like, I have no like set plan. Oh, this is what I want to do after I get done here. It's like, I don't fucking know. I'm just gonna go with the flow as far as I can tell. But I've also been interested in like, you know, starting a label, and I just kind of want to like, basically, how did you do it? You know, how, so to, you know, to explain to our listeners, how the hell do you start an indie music label?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that the most prohibitive thing about starting a label is, I mean, I think for people who don't necessarily understand exactly what labels do, labels are basically the funding source for everything that goes into an album. So, like, the money that goes into making vinyls and CDs, but also the money that goes into, you know, all your publicity and all your radio promotion and, you know, and all that stuff comes from a label. So I think that the most prohibitive thing to people is that it just, I mean, even really small albums, or what I think you guys would probably think is being really small albums, you know, still probably like $25,000 or something poured into them. So, you know, I started this label like kind of as part of this arts organization I was working for. But they like pretty immediately decided that it was too expensive. But I really conveniently at the time, one of my friends who was, I'd always known him as being a member of Lumineers. But he kind of texted me one day, and I mean, we'd been talking about potentially doing a label.
You have a friend of the Lumineers?
Yeah, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, I know those guys. They're good stuff. But yeah, so, Ben, who co-founded the label with me up to that point, was playing in that band. And then he just kind of sent me a text one day, and he said, hey, I don't think I'm going to do this for much longer. Do you want to, like, do this label thing for real? And so we both took, like, a long, hard look at our savings accounts and decided that we could put out a few records and kind of go from there. So, you know, having him around, he had a lot of, you know, connections in the music industry, and I had...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about next. Like, how did you get your band Quiet Life, and who else is on your record label?
It's a band called Grandparents, and then our next release coming up is a band called Sour Boy Bitter Girl.
When will that be?
That'll be fall sometime. I haven't quite set a date yet. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so how did you get connected with these bands, and how did you convince them to sign to your label?
Yeah, so I just had some mutual friends in Grandparents, and they came through Fort Collins, and I wasn't actually there, but I was at a festival, a great little festival in Boise called Tree Fort. So I went and saw their set there, and they kind of like emailed me and said, hey, you know, I heard you have a label. We're sending out a record right now. Come see us live and come let us know what you think. And so I went and saw them, and they put on a great set, and they sent me this record, which was like really rad kind of psych pop. You know, so we just... I said, hey, here's what I can do for you. Here's how much money we can pump into this, and they went for it. I got connected to the Quiet Life guys. Quiet Life actually opened for Lumineers on one of their tours a couple years ago. So that was mostly Ben, who kind of connected us with those guys. But you know, again, it was one of those deals where they just like sent Ben an email and said, hey, you know, Scott from Dr. Dog. Or, you know, we just spent a week in the studio with Scott from Dr. Dog, and we had this record. You know, we don't really have a label to put it out on right now. Are you guys interested in this? And they sent it to us, and we thought it was a really good record, so we hopped on and put it out.
I'll say, I've listened to this record, and it's pretty good. It's kind of like an Americana record, and it actually kind of reminds me of that Knee album that just came out that everyone's been kind of hot on.
Yeah.
Has that, like, AM radio sound to it.
Right.
But I actually like this. I'm not too big on Whitney, but I actually like this Quiet Life album, Foggy, better. Or at the very least, there's not a song on Whitney's album that I like better than Lost in the Light.
Oh, cool.
That's a very good song.
Yeah, thanks, dude. I mean, I didn't really have much to do with it, but...
You didn't make a record. Yeah, no. You gave them the money.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I guess the money is kind of the one thing that you have to have to make it work, but it's still like, you know, even just putting out one record for like two dudes is a whole lot of work, because you have to keep your like radio team on point, you have to keep your PR team on point, you know, you have to, I wake up every morning and ship out records to whoever bought them over the course of the day before, and so it's a
Well, it's all about infrastructure too, because like you have the connections of like the pressing plants. And like, how many pressing plants are there right now?
I think there's somewhere around 10.
10?
Yeah.
Oh, really? The last time I heard was 6 or something. In the world or just the United States?
I think there's 10 in the United States, but two things that people think of as pressing plants in the United States actually do all their pressing in the Czech Republic and then have it shipped over. But
oh, really?
But the labor's like cheap enough in the Czech Republic that they actually manage to stay competitive doing that and often have the quicker turnaround times. You know, so I don't know if any of you guys are record collectors.
I have a vinyl record collection.
Cool. Yeah, same with me. I haven't really been able to estimate it that much lately, but yep, have one.
Yeah, so I mean, I would estimate that of your like, especially your kind of smaller indie releases, I'd estimate about 50% of those were probably produced in the Czech Republic.
Really?
Yeah. And then kind of New York, LA, Nashville following after that.
All right. Actually, I want to know, like, what's usually like the turnaround time before, like, okay, the band submits the record and then the distribution process, you know, how long does it take to sort of the... Because I've heard from some bands that the distribution process takes like 6 months or even longer, or sometimes, like, depending on the band, it's like even shorter, or if they're just doing CD releases, it's like even shorter. So like on average, like so far with the records you released, you know, how long has it taken from when the band turns it in to when it's officially out for everyone to purchase and buy and stream and whatnot?
Yeah, so basically the first thing we do once the band turns it in is we send it to the record press. And their turnaround time kind of varies. So, you know, typically for us, we're looking at 5 or 6 months after we actually get the final masters to get it out. You know, and that gives us, you know, 4 months for the press to actually make the vinyl, you know, a month for us to get it to our distribution, and our distribution has to ship it out to all the stores across the country. You know, and then that also gives us time to get our shit together as far as, you know, all the radio and the PR that's going to accompany any release. So 5 or 6 months, I think, is a safe bet. If we didn't have to do vinyl, it would still be, or if we did a record that we didn't do a vinyl release on, you know, we'd still need at least 3 months to prepare the radio campaign.
That album I'm talking about that's coming out in the fall, is it already turned into you and done?
No, it's not quite yet.
Okay, so it's going to be a while, maybe.
I mean, another thing that we have to do is like actually go in and approve the final masters and make sure that everything's up to snuff audio quality wise. So that's kind of where that's standing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a few more that are like in the pipeline right now, just that are still caught up in legal land. And legal stuff often will take 2 or 3 months just to get the band's lawyers to agree with our lawyers and all that stuff. So you
have lawyers on. Are they on? I guess they're not on retainer yet, but
No. We have a legal team on retainer in New York.
Oh, on retainer?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you guys are growing. I mean, you already put out 2 records in 9 months. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Do you have any other bands like in the pipeline? Like how many bands are you hoping to get within like next year or so?
Yeah. No. I mean, I'd hope that, you know, if we talked again this time next year, that we'd have somewhere between 8 or 10 releases out. You know, I know that a lot of labels, and a lot of labels that I really admire, like, you know, Burger, for example, like just like constantly putting out releases. But, you know, I think that a lot of them are like smaller and don't necessarily have a whole lot of promotion behind them. You know, and so I think the one thing that me and the rest of the guys at the label like really decided on from day one is that we want to take every release we do very seriously, even if that means, you know, putting out less records. You know, we never want to put out a record that we aren't able to like give our full attention to.
Right. Yeah, I respect that. And especially since you guys are still small, you don't want to. You want to have like good records to show other bands. Like, hey, these are the records we put out.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You
want
to have work you're proud. Like, but once you have like a reputation, maybe you can then start working on bigger, more bands and stuff like that. But yeah, I get it. I respect that approach. So yeah, how big is do you have an office in Fort Collins?
we're gonna have one in September. This awesome kind of family nonprofit foundation just spent what I have to assume is millions of dollars, like building up all this new infrastructure for like the Fort Collins music scene. And so like part of the deal with that is there's like this office space that they want us in as badly as like we want to have an office there, which is something that's pretty unusual in I think real estate dealings. So we're actually gonna get to like be sharing a building with a lot of other Colorado music, you know, companies and nonprofits and stuff. So we're just holding off to fill in.
So you just operate from home so far?
Yeah, a lot of coffee shops, a lot of records in my closet right now. Right. But
so yeah, how big is your team? How many people work for Strange Light Records?
There's two other guys right now.
So you and Ben and two other guys?
No, me, Ben, and a guy named John.
All right.
Who played in a band called You, Me, and Apollo that I know a lot of people really liked back in the day, but I don't know if you guys have
heard of them. Never listened to them, but
no.
So if I'm graduating in a year, will you be able to give me a job?
I mean,
yep.
I hope so. Hope I can hire a lot of people. But,
all right, yeah. I'll be graduating in a year, so I'll be hitting you up first people I hit up.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, can you give me a job too? I need a job. You already heard me. I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do after I get done with community college next year, man. I'm gonna be struggling.
I'm gonna have a bachelor's.
Well, let's see. Actually, you know, so let's talk about some music a bit. So, of course, like you and me and Will, that didn't make any sense. Let me rewind and try to re-say that. Like you and Will, you are a member of the Indie Heads community, and I actually kind of want to ask, how did you initially get into indie music?
Oh, wow. I haven't...
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's such a fascinating question. I never really thought about that. You know, I think that like maybe the first like real indie band that I listened to was Grizzly Bear. You know, and I think that was just like roommates putting that on and.
So back in college.
Yeah, yeah. Probably early college days.
Did you grow up in pop punk?
Me?
Yeah.
No. I grew up on bluegrass and jazz.
Okay.
I
grew up on classical too, so.
Yeah, word.
I played violin in high school, so I'm orchestra fan.
Cool. Yeah.
That's when you got into rock music, was in college.
Yeah, definitely in college, and I think I got to spend a little bit of time around that band, the Punch Brothers, when I was out on the festival circuit, and those guys were like pretty inspiring to me because they were like certainly looked like a bluegrass band, but I think draw as much inspiration from bands like Radiohead or of Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, they have those famous Radiohead covers.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So being around those dudes, I think I'd be like, oh, I wonder what those guys were listening to, and then I'd go and find out what they were listening to, and just kind of took it from there. And
right on.
You know, and then I think honestly, getting into stuff like Reddit and Twitter really was able.
Yeah,
to...
Yeah, Reddit definitely expanded my taste a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And finding like music critics and stuff that I like, whose opinion I trusted.
Yeah.
Helped me up more stuff, and Mew, 4chan, that helped me a little bit. So.
Yeah, I've never fucked with that, but I'm sure it's.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a shit show, but if you look at the right places, you'll find some cool stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, for the most part, avoid Mew at all costs unless it's a Last.fm 5x5 thread or like a share thread or something. And
also, their charts are like if you're like looking to get into stoner metal or something like that, or like you're like, hey, I've never listened to Pink Floyd, let me start. They have some good charts for that kind of stuff.
Mm. And especially avoid the K-pop general thread. there's just a bunch of weebs there. You don't want to go. It's a horrible, awful place. But yeah, indie music. So let's see. Then the label itself, you started it. That was kind of cool. Let's see. Is there any bands in the future, like that you are looking to, like, if you, so if, like, let's say that, well, who is your dream band that all of a sudden becomes a free agent and they're free to, you know, to be signed by anyone? Who is the band that you want to sign that you could realistically
sign?
So
why are they Japandroids?
Yeah, sure. Why is it Japandroids? Fucking Will, goddamn it. You guys fucking, those are nerds. You're Japandroids.
No, I mean, that's definitely one of the first names that came to mind. I'd really like to, you know, I think that our first two releases didn't necessarily have a whole lot in common with each other, and that's kind of a trend that I've would sort of like to continue.
You'll necessarily want to have an aesthetic for your label.
I was going to ask, like, if you want your label to have like a consistent aesthetic, or do you just kind of want to be like diverse in the music that you guys have, you know?
Yeah, I think that diversity is that's something that's really important to me, because I don't, you know, my own personal tastes are really diverse. You know, I think that the idea of being able to, like, you know, sign a hip hop band or a metal band or something gets a little difficult, just because those guys, like, industry infrastructure is a lot different than like the just kind of general indie label infrastructure that so much of the stuff that I think we listen to falls under. But, you know, beyond that, the coolest thing to me about running this label so far and every record that we've worked is these records just kind of find us. And I think a lot of the reason they find us is because there wasn't an obvious home for them. Like, you know, I'm really into emo revival stuff, and I'd love to sign an emo revival band, but there's already so many good labels that are already putting that stuff out. You know,
also,
so
it's also focused on the Northeast right now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I don't think we have any particular regional focus either. I mean, our first few releases have been from Oregon and Connecticut, respectively.
Right.
I guess our next one's Colorado, but you know, I think the big thing it means is finding albums that I relate to and that I think that have a chance of selling well and that the other dudes who work for me like as well. So,
right on.
Right on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a good place to stop. I mean, Colin Ingram, co-founder of Strange Light Records. Find him on Indie Heads and our threads. And yeah, anything else you want to say, Colin?
No, I mean, thanks for having me on, guys. It's a lot of fun.
No problem,
man.
Like having...
So yeah, make sure
everyone hype release.
Oh, okay. Who's gonna do the plugs? Am I gonna do the plugs, or are you gonna do the plugs?
You can do plugs.
So plugs, Colin. Again, make sure to, you know, check it out on Reddit, on Twitter, Colin Ingram. Make sure to check out his label, Strange Light Records. I was trying to listen to before this podcast the Quiet Life record you guys put out this year. I'm actually enjoying it so far. I need to try to finish it. I didn't really have enough time before this podcast. I've been having like a weird day. I've been very busy. The thing I've been busy with is playing a lot of Overwatch. that game has consumed me. But yeah, check out Colin. Check out his label. Hopefully, you know, good luck in the future with the label. Hopefully, you guys put out a bunch of great records. And yeah, thanks for coming on.
And, yeah, thanks, sis.
And then, of course, our plugs for ourselves. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, IndieHeadsPod. Like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/IndieHeadsPodcast. Make sure to follow our Symbol account, which just recently hit 1.5k followers, which is like, let's see, it's 5 times more than the amount of YouTube subscribers that we have, and probably around, I want to say 8 times as many iTunes subscribers as we have. So if you follow us on our Symbol account, why are you not listening to our podcast? I mean, I know we post good music, but, you know, we also have good opinions on music, too, you should definitely listen to. So, yeah. Also, oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that Gabe and Charlie, and just generally the Symbol team, they put us on the Indie Starter Pack. Sort of, they had, like, a banner set up with, you know, the Indie Starter Pack, and they put us on there, which is really awesome. We got a bunch of followers from that. But, yeah, that's about it on plugs. Thank you, Colin, for coming on the podcast. And hope you guys enjoy this week's podcast, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Peace.
Adios.